This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Praise the Lord. Our speaker today is somebody that is vertically blessed. You know, by the time you see him, you'll be towering over me. But beyond his stature, he's a man of God, a man of the word. We were having a conversation in the office, and expect the prophetic. Expect God to speak to you today. You know, many of us, unfortunately, we come to church as a routine. But I want you to know that today, you will not live the same way you have come. God will speak to you. God will make a difference in your life. In the name of God. How about you just bow your head for a minute and say, Lord, speak to me today. Against all odds, some of you have come today. Those that came from Dallas, drove through the night, and you are in church. All of that will not be a waste. God will meet with you today. I want you to have expectation. Because expectation is the womb that gives birth to miracles. And God is about to do a miracle in your life today. In the name of, just speak to him. Speak to him. Begin to bring your prayer to a close. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Bringing the word today is Reverend Niyi Ladokun. He's a pastor of Global Harvest Church in Nairobi, Kenya. Please jam your hands together, Salvation Center, and give him a very warm welcome. Put your hands together. Put your hands together.
Can we appreciate the Lord? I mean, we should really appreciate the Lord. I wasn't asking that you clap for me. And I feel a bit uncomfortable that when you were clapping for me, you clap better. Praise God. Praise God. I am excited to be here. I am so happy and overjoyed. I'm grateful to God for his angels over this house, for having me here. And We just connected immediately. We hit it off. Thank you, man of God. Thank you, woman of God. And I want you to celebrate God's angel over you in this house, Pastor Koye and Pastor Joyce Sonny. Please celebrate them. And I'm not saying that perfunctorily. The Bible says that we are to esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. Okay? Bible says to esteem them highly. In fact, it says the elder that rule well should be counted worthy of what? Double honor. Can we give them double honor? Hallelujah. All right, before you take your seats, I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I will not keep you sitting for too long, but I would love us to stand for the reading of the Word of God. I have a baby to deliver. And like Apostle Paul says, I'm constrained until it is delivered. Oh, glory to God. I'm grateful to God for this privilege and for this platform. My father and my pastor made this connection, and Victor Adeyemi is my pastor. I know a lot of people throw the word around, man of God, my spiritual father, that they have no accountability. To me, he is my pastor, and it's not just my pastor in word, it's my pastor in deed. And I feel so blessed to be connected. So, newsflash, pastors have pastors. Okay? And what we expect of you, we also deliver. Oh, somebody had what I just said. What we expect of you, we deliver. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, I want to read two verses. I will be glad if you can read with me. I would love to read verse number 21 and verse number 22 from the New King James Version of the Bible. Are we there? Can we go together? Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our heart as a guarantee. Spirit of God, fill this place. Move freely. Enlighten hearts. Give insight. Give direction. Break yokes. Lift heavy burdens. Let long-standing afflictions come to an end. In the name of Jesus, let the entrance of your word cause shifts of position, shifts of location. Let there be a release into the fullness of purpose. We thank you, Father, for working in our midst. Let my tongue be like the pen of the ready writer to write upon this heart as it is written in heaven. This morning I pray in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. All right, do me one favor. Walk around to five people, stab them a high five, and tell them I am anointed. No, I need you to look at them face to face, eyeball to eyeball, and tell them I am anointed. I am anointed. I am not an empty head. I am not an empty heart. I've got something on the inside of me. I am anointed. I have an anointing from the Holy One. I know all things. I can do all things. In Jesus' mighty name. You can be seated in the presence of God. Hallelujah. I got a word this morning. The woman of God tapped into that word. I was like, God, let her not go there. Prophetic people are very dangerous. They will preach your sermon before you even get to start. I'm saying, God, let her not go there. Just hold her back. Just hold her back. I am anointed. If you need a topic this morning, that's what I've come to tell you. God sent me to tell you that you are anointed. He sent me to tell you that there is something on the inside of you that is going to revolutionize your life. He said to Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you, I knew you. I appointed you. Now, everyone that the Lord appoints, he anoints. Without the anointing, your appointment is baseless. It's useless. It's like being given an office, but you don't have the staff of the office. It's being given a new space, but without the key. You have the house, but you don't have the key to the house. The anointing is the key to your inheritance. Are you listening to me? I know you are blessed. I've not just come to tell you that you are blessed. I've come to tell you that you are anointed. Because without the anointing, you will not be able to walk in the blessing. Is someone with me this morning? So he says that he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Now, the thing is not that I'm going to be anointed. He says, I am anointed. Listen, you might not see tongues of fire on my head, but something is burning here. I've got something upon me. I am recognizable in the realm of the spirit. Tap it, say, neighbor, treat me gently. You are dealing with fire. Oh, no, it's a fire. So it is the anointing of God that gives you the enablement then to step into your appointment. So in order for the believer to be able to bless others and impact others around him, he has got to function in his anointing. Without your anointing, you are a liability to the rest of us. What makes you valuable to us is that you show up anointed. You show up with power. Are you with me? Oh, somebody's hearing what I'm saying. I know you had to travel all night. You had a wedding yesterday, but can you give me just a few moments of your life? Can we reset some things? Can we alter some things? He says, you are anointed. So because you are anointed, you are a blessing. You know, there are people that when you hang around them, they make you feel like you are nothing. That you are not all that. It is because the anointing is not... You can't be around fire and not feel the effect of fire. Oh, and you know the thing about fire, woman of God? You either draw near or you move away. When you are cold, you move near. When you are too hot, you move away. But fire always has an impact. It always has an effect. So when you are anointed, everybody knows you carry something. And you see, the thing about fire is that fire gives off light. It's not just the fact that it gives off heat. Okay, thank God for heat. You know, heat, you have to be near it to feel it. But it gives us light. And light is noticeable in the midst of darkness. So when you enter the situation of other people, they know that you carry something. Oh, it was Mike Budok that said, if men don't change your presence, you are not necessary. So when you step in, people should change. Your presence should make a difference. And yet there are people, their presence and absence makes no difference. You didn't even know they didn't come to church today. But when you are anointed, people will look for you. Because the anointing will place you in demand. It makes men to seek for you. You don't know why you look for Sister Shade or Brother Austin, but you know that when you meet them, something happens. So you want people to pray with you. You don't just look for anybody. Oh, pastor is not in town. Oh, what do we do? Oh, I know Sister so-so and so. Because you know they carry something. Listen, all of us are anointed, but not all of us are aware that we're anointed. Because until you have a revelation of your anointing, you cannot function in your anointing. You can't function in your anointing. You have to have a revelation. It is that revelation that makes you to now begin to function. It makes men to begin to place a demand upon what you have to give. Let me tell you something. I'm sensing something in my spirit. There's someone here. You've been struggling. You've been struggling. You've been going from job to jobs, jobs to jobs. You've been struggling and it's not hard enough and you are at the verge of giving up. And God said to me to tell you, stay in your grace zone. Stay in your grace zone. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I sense that strongly you came to church for a last word. God said to tell you, stay in your grace zone. You are not empty. You are just operating outside of your grace zone. Let me tell you something. The anointing and grace are tied together. You cannot be anointed where you are not graced. Are you with me? The anointing flows in the place of grace. Listen, the fact the pastor is good at what he does not make me to copy what he does. I know many of us came into this nation, we're expecting the land of milk and honey, and it didn't turn out to be, it turned out to be a land of cows and fields. And you know, we found out that some people were prospering in certain areas, and they tell you, when you come, this is what you do. Yet, what you are being asked to do is not your grace zone. So while they are prospering in it, you are not prospering, then they are wondering what is wrong with you. It's because your anointing does not find expression outside of your grace zone. Am I talking to somebody this morning? I need you to get it. I don't know whether that person is a man or a woman, but I know you've tried several things and it has not worked and you're on the verge of giving up. And God said to tell you, stay in your grace zone. Your anointing will flourish. Those who didn't notice you will notice you. Listen, stop listening to all those people who just come and talk. They cannot clone you. Your anointing is unique. Oh, you didn't get what I just said. You see, until you understand the uniqueness of your anointing, you will suffer. I've seen people several times over the years, they've tried to be like me. You can't be like me. I'm crazy like that, I'm telling you. I'm just unique. The way I understand signs, the way I understand words and things like that, it's just me. You stay in your grace zone, your people will follow you. There are people who are so anointed, they are so gifted, but they have no platform. I know why they have no platform. They are outside of grace zone. There is no amount of prophecy you can make on a fish to make it to survive on land. Fish, I prophesy over you in the name of Jesus. Thrive! It cannot thrive. It is outside of his grace zone. A cheetah is a fatter animal on ground. But put him in water, he's lost. He's lost. So you're saying, don't worry, you can do it. Other people have done it because you saw the sea otter swimming. You thought the cheetah can swim. You can do it. Come on, go for it. See that one. See the way it's going. And he's laboring because he's not so configured. The anointing has no expression in that place. Somebody with me. Say, neighbor. Stay in your grace zone. Stay there. Just stay there. Stay there. I know the layer of a better life. The layer of the quick life. Oh, if you do this. People are doing this now. That is what has wrecked several destinies. People are doing this. And you get to heaven and realize that everything you did, there's no record. Because you were not sent to do it. I know many of us have got to a place where we begin to look at God. God, why? Why are you treating me like this? Because he has no business in what you're doing. But Bible says he works in us to will and to do. We don't work it. He works in us. So if it is not his will, it's not his bill. You are going to be trying to pay for something that is not the will of God. So, do you know the most dangerous thing that can happen to a believer is to have resources to do something that God does not want him to do? Ask Jonah. The Bible says that, the beginning of Jonah, I think it's verse 2. It says, God said to him, go to Nineveh. The Bible says, he went and found a ship going to Tarshish. And the Bible says, he paid the fare thereof. Sometimes it's dangerous to have money. The only reason he could afford to get out of the will of God was because he had the resources. So sometimes when God shuts up the heaven, say, thank you, Jesus. Are you with me? When he says, I know you should have it, but I'm not giving it to you. He's saving you from yourself.
Wow.
Jonah almost killed other people, made them lose their goods because he had resources to pay for fare in the wrong direction. But the Bible says he works in us. He works in us to will. He works in us to do of his good pleasure. How does he work in us? By the anointing. By the anointing. I can't finish this message in 3 hours. But I've got about 20 more minutes. So I'm just going to jump. I run to my conclusion so I can speak a bit to you. Tap into say, neighbor, keep struggling. Step into the anointing. You know, Ezekiel chapter number 47, it says he brought me out of the temple and water was issuing forth from the temple, from the south side, except for the temple faced east. So from the right side of the temple, water was coming out. He said, when I went into it, 1,000 furlongs. He said, it was just to my feet. Okay? He said, but I went again, 1,000, it came to my knees. He said, I went again, 1,000, it came to my waist. He said, but I kept pressing on. Many of us stopped pressing into the anointing long ago. Because we felt it with our feet, we thought we were in it, and yet you are not in it. Because the purpose of the anointing is not to create an experience, it is to create a transformed life, an encounter that brings transformation. Okay, and let me tell you what transformation is. Transformation is not a flying caterpillar. Transformation is a butterfly. Oh, you didn't hear what I just said. Imagine when the caterpillar gets to the end of its life and then it just grows wings and starts flying. It doesn't make sense, is it? In fact, you'd be so scared of the thing. But what happens? The caterpillar goes through a process that changes it totally so that what you see at the end is different from what you saw at the beginning. So that the output does not look like the input. Are you with me? So when the anointing comes upon your life, your latter will not just be greater, it will be different from the former. Are you with me? When the anointing of God comes upon your life, you know when someone anointed Saul, the Bible says he became a new man. Saul started prophesying. And he was so strange. He said, this Saul? Saul? Okay, who is their father? Who is the person that could not recognize that Saul does not have it? Are you getting it? Because suddenly Saul started doing something that was not in his genes. When the anointing of God comes upon your life and begins to flow and find expression, you begin to do things that were not in your genes. All right, somebody with me? And listen, some things are in your genes and they are good things. Amen? Oh, I wish I had time. You know, we speak so much about generational curses and ancestral issues and things like that. We forget that generational blessings. Okay? I speak today because it's in my genes. Okay? Everyone in my family, we have grace to teach. We all teach in our various industries. When it comes to training, no stress. Teaching, no stress. And we have perception. No stress. He's seeing our G's. So now that I'm in Christ, I can use it well. You see, before I got born again, I used to sit people down and talk to them all kinds of very strange things. Because I had overread. By the time I was in primary 4, I was reading A.F. Abbott with comprehension. Yes. So I had a lot of information. So when I sit down, my mates will sit down and be listening to me. You know, you will tell a child you are talkative. You don't know that being talkative is the same gift of eloquence. It is just not discovered. Somebody didn't get it. Before I got saved, I was talkative. When I got saved, I became eloquent. Because I found purpose. So now I don't just speak. I speak with capacity. I speak with grace. I speak to write and rewrite the destinies of men. Are you with me? So go and find out what is in your genes. Bible spoke of Tubal-Cain, the man who made music, who started things, you know, all kinds of trades that were started in the Bible. And he said these things were also genetic. Where from, Ibadan? The iron. Do you teach an iron child how to play drum? They pick it up and they start. Okay, you know the talking drum? That is a family, a whole clan of people. Okay? You don't need to teach them. They grow into it. Once they pick up the drum, it starts flowing. It starts flowing. It's in their genes. It's a blessing in their lineage. Are you with me? Go and find out the things in your lineage and stop struggling. Stop struggling. Most times when a man has music in him, his children will have music in them. At least one of them. So when I speak today, I say, Father, my grandfather did not speak. I'm not sure my great-grandfather spoke. My father spoke little. So as I stand on the pulpit today, Lord, all the blessing of the generation, all the impact of what they did not say, I begin to have right now in the name of Jesus. I understand it's in my genes. There are blessings in your genes. So we are anointed. Bible says, it is this person who has anointed us. And it's one who establishes us and he sealed us and gave us the Spirit as a guarantee. So that anointing is not going to go. But that anointing is a measure. Are you with me? The anointing is in measure. So question, how do we take the anointing into deeper measures? How do we grow in the anointing? Does somebody want to know that? How do we step into deeper waters? Okay, I'm going to tell you a few things that you already know, but which you probably don't do. But when you hear me, you will do. Oh, somebody didn't hear what I said. Listen, there are things that are taught and there are things that are caught. And the way the kingdom advances is on instruction. Okay? The Bible says the grace of the Lord, Titus 2:11, that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us. Now, the word teaching, that does not mean to just tell us. It tells us, then it empowers us to do it. Okay? Like you're doing home science class. It's one thing for the teacher to demonstrate to you and to say, you know what, if you add flour plus sugar plus eggs plus this, it becomes this. That's instruction. Okay? But instruction must move on to demonstration. Demonstration now says, now let's do it. So you do it. She does it to you. And then from demonstration to involvement, she now says, let's do it together. Okay? But from involvement, there is a new level. That is the level where it says, the kitchen is yours. It is called empowerment. So to teach is not just to instruct. It's not just to demonstrate. It is to empower. To now say, this is the kitchen. These are the resources. You can now produce your own. Ah, is somebody with me? So it is not just enough. When you say I'm teaching someone, I am not just instructing them or demonstrating to them what can be done and giving them a platform, an opportunity to do the thing. That's how pilots are trained. So they start by observation to instruction to demonstration to involvement and partnership And finally, empowerment. Are you with me? That is what that word means. So it is not just to tell you that you are anointed, but to impart the grace of the anointing and the grace that perpetuates the development of the anointing. Okay, have I lost you? Okay. Let me just share a few things with you and then I'll get out of here. Number one, you must have a deep hunger for the anointing. You got to have a deep hunger to cultivate your anointing. You know you are anointed. Just like you know that there is a gene in you that carries a blessing, but it's recessive. Okay? There is a supernatural and dynamic capacity in your generation based on what you've observed, but it's recessive. You have to stir it up. They say, well, you must have a hunger. The anointing has a way of bypassing those who don't need it. If you don't honor the anointing does not come to you. To deflect the anointing towards you, you honor it. You respect it. People who don't respect money don't have much of it. It takes respect to know how to manage. And no matter how much money you make, if you're a bad manager, you'll be poor. If you're a bad manager. But it takes respect to manage accurately. So even in managing your family, it's respect that shows you how to manage them. So you start with a hunger, a deep desire. I love the way the late Dr. Miles Monroe defined desire. He said to desire is to crave for something at the expense of losing every other thing to get it. So question is, how bad do you want it? Can you afford to function without your anointing? How bad do you want to step to that next level? How bad do you want to flourish in your grace zone? Because you can't do it without the anointing. Are you with me this morning? In Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 to 46, I read from King James. The Bible says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hidden in a field, which when a man had found, he hid it. And for joy thereof going and selling all that he had and buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Did you notice in both situations, he sold all that he had? What will it take to get it all that you have? Question, what are you willing to give up to go up? Number two, you can't be casual with prayer. Fervency in prayer. And listen, this has nothing to do with whether you are the spirit coco. Oh, sorry. Forgive me. You know, the people will look at it and say they are overtly spiritual. You know? And they will look at someone like they are just nominal. This is not about how hot or cold your charisma is. This is about communion within. You see, because if you don't travel within, you can't travel without. If you only pray out and you don't pray in, you are not praying. Oh, somebody didn't hear what I just said. Some people, the only time they pray is when they open their mouth. Meaning, their thought life is not prayerful. Fervency starts from within. The Spirit makes intercession for groanings too deep to be uttered. Meaning that there are contemplations within that words cannot even express. You have to get to a point where you don't just pray, you are moved to pray. You know, when you get up in the morning and there's a song in your spirit and just step up and then you just open your mouth and the song comes out. Suddenly you just go into your day and suddenly you just find yourself humming a song and before you know it, you start singing it. You are moved to sing because you are mindful of divine revelations. Mindful of the presence of God. Mindful of the thoughts of God. Are you with me? So prayer cannot be casual. Let me read James chapter 5. I read from the Amplified Version, verse 16 to 18. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your false offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. I love this part. The earnest heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in his working. So let me pause. It says, the earnest, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man, he makes tremendous power available. So when a righteous man prays, power is available. The issue, sir, is that many of us do not think we are the righteous man. So in order to qualify, look at the next verse. James now says, Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have. Okay? So that's just such as you have. With feelings, affections, and a constitution like ours. Pause. Bible says, you know, when you hear Elijah was a man of like passion, we don't understand the word like passion. Like passion just sounds very spiritual, very cliche. But it says he has feelings. You know, when one woman said, I will kill you, the man ran. He stood before 450 prophets, killed all of them. One woman, he could not even bear to look at her eyelashes. He ran. That was Elijah. Elijah said, rather than wait for that woman, Lord, kill me now. That was Elijah. He could not face one woman, but stood before 450 men. The woman didn't have a sword, but the man has feelings, affections, and a cause. So what exactly do you think you're going through? What do you think is your weakness? Bible says Elijah had it. Say, but this is what Elijah did that changed the picture. He prayed earnestly. You can underline that in your Bible. Okay? He did what? So an ordinary man became an extraordinary man because of the fervency of his prayers. It was not because he was a special man. It was not because he had been anointed a prophet. It was because he understood that fervency in prayer will always get results. So his fervency in prayer stirred up power. He said the earnest of prayer of righteous makes tremendous power available that is dynamic in its working. That's the flow of the anointing. So the more time you spend in there, the more anointed you come across to the rest of us, the more impact you have. You can't be anointed if you don't know the secret place. You will have the seed and the potential, but there will be no manifestation. Because that is where we cook it up. And it is not about being spiritual like Pastor or Pastor Joyce. You know, when she comes across, she has, you know, this power and passion and flow. No, it's just about you being thoughtful and mindful of God and letting that overflow come out to you. My Bible says, he that believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So you can create your own pool of the waters. Because it is flowing from within you, you can decide to let it come out so you can swim in it. So you have to let it out of you. And it is a place of prayer that we do that. Amen. But it says, and he prayed again. And the heavens supplied rain. And the earth produced its crops. He prayed again. It was almost casual. But Pastor Joyce, did you read the Bible, how the Bible interpreted that he prayed again? 1 Kings 18, 45. You know, 41 to 45. The Bible says this here, like, he prayed again. He prayed again, just casual. Just like that. Just prayed again. But we saw the man went to the mountain, put his head between his knees. Several times kept sending the guy. Do you know he sacked the guy afterwards? Did you ever hear the guy again? He sacked him. Because he was bringing evil reports while he was busy praying. When you serve a man of God, be careful the kind of report you bring. Several times, he could not wait until he saw. Okay, forgive me. I need it. You, to stir up your anointing, to cultivate your anointing, you need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Yes. That's number one. You need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. This is where many of us have challenges. We say the Lord does not speak to me. I can't remember last time God spoke to me. God stopped speaking to me. God speaks. But let me tell you something. In order for God to tune your ears, he uses mundane things. Shut that door. And they're like, why should I? Pick up the socks. My son will come and pick it after later. Little things. That woman, give her $20. Really. She doesn't look like she needs it. And God, you know the way we just It is just my heart. It's just reasoning out. It's just me trying to just feel spiritual. But God will use simple, simple things. And every act of disobedience makes us to go farther from his voice. He's still speaking. He's still speaking. But we become dead to that voice the more we fail to obey. He's still speaking. Right now, there are several frequencies in the atmosphere. But you can't pick it. Why? You are not sensitive to it. I used to be sensitive to radio waves. It wasn't good, I'll tell you. It wasn't good. But I could tell. Yes. I can tell you when somebody like 10 blocks away just put on the TV. Because I will hear. But I was not healthy at that time. Okay. A story for another day. Don't worry. But these things are in the atmosphere. They are right in the atmosphere. But we can't sense it. But there are certain things that make us to sense it. But the way it works with us and God is this. If I tell you, do this first time, do the second time, the third time, I will look for somebody else. So if God is speaking more often through Pastor Joyce, it's not because she's the pastor or because she's a prophet. He wants to speak through all of us. It is because she's the one who is listening and obeying. Some of us just want to hear the voice of God. But we know to say, you know, I met with Pastor Koye yesterday. Good man. I met with him. You know, we want to be able to name drop. God said to me. God said to me, I had the voice of God. You know, the Spirit of God is saying, you know, how we love to just drop God's name to let people know that we just had God. Hello? Have you been there? Or is it only me? But we do not obey. And what happens is this. It will stop talking through you. That's how it, no. It first stops talking through you before it stops talking to you. Praise God. So it starts with little things. So these days, I have learned to just obey. Okay? The little nudges, what does it cost me to just shut the door? It said to shut the door. I just shut it. Okay? That's the story my wife tells. You know, before I moved my family from Nigeria to Kenya, for a long while I would go for several months and then come in briefly and then go, you know, and all that. And there was this occasion I wasn't around. And she needed to get something from a neighborhood shop. There's quite a big compound. There's quite some way between the door and the gate. It's like from here to the sound room, you know. Oh, it's longer than that. Slightly longer than that, you know. So she came. There is this iron gate. You know, we have like 3 levels in Nigeria. When you build us in Nigeria, you have to have like 3, you know. So there's the iron gate was opened, and there is the net, and then whatever. So she felt the Spirit of God saying to her, cross the net. We have a little boy, probably was about a year or so at that time, you know. But she was like, I'm just going there and coming. Nobody's behind me. Nobody's going to follow me. So she just went, okay. Went out the gate and all that. Suddenly, as she was across, she just had somebody say, who has this child? And she turned back. Our little boy was right in front of the bonnet of a car. Right in front. The car has screeched to stop. Right there. And she says, of course she scooped the boy and ran, and she was shaking. She didn't know what to tell me. What will I tell the father? You know, and the Holy Spirit spoke. But it was just a door. It's just a child. Nobody's likely to be able to. I mean, that child should not be able to open that door. So when she's teaching at a church and she's talking about sensitivity to the Spirit, she usually will tell that story. Now when the Holy Ghost tells you, you better listen. Because I thought, like, if something wrong had happened, like, oh, no, why? God prevented it, but it sharpened our intuition. When you feel something, just do it. As long as it's not a bad thing or a spooky thing to do, just do it. Shut the door. Flush the toilet. Simple thing. Pick up the trash. I mean, lay your bed. Because when you miss that, you will miss his voice in major things. Are you with me? When you miss it in minor things, you will miss it in major things. Tap your neighbor and say, neighbor, tune up to the voice of God. And then there is personal discipline. It is not just enough that we are sensitive. We must be disciplined. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I read from King James, verse 20 and 21. 20 says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. 21. He says, if a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and made for the master's use, and prepared to do every good work. Several years ago, I read that scripture. I was like, God, no, but that's not my theology. My understanding of this is that you are the one who determines who is used and who is not. You are the one who determines to what extent we use a man and to what extent we use him. But he says, no, this is what I said. If a man purge himself from dishonorable things, that is, if he disciplines himself, I will use him for great things. Oh, is somebody with me? Your level of personal discipline will determine the height to which God will use you. Are you with me? So in order to raise, to stir up your anointing, you need to discipline yourself. Question, what are you willing to give up to stay anointed? For some of us, late night movies will have to go. For some of us, early morning newspapers will have to go. It will ask for different kinds of things. It will ask for different kinds of things. But you know in which area you need personal discipline. You've got to do it. You've got to give it. Number what now? I'm jumping. If you're going to see the anointing of God increase upon your life, you've got to attempt great things for God. You've got to attempt great things. Many times we're waiting for the church to call an outreach meeting, an evangelism drive before we go minister. Or to organize hospital visitation before we go minister to the sick. You've got to stay it up by going out where the needs are. Listen to me. If there is nobody who is sick in this place, the healing anointing cannot find expression. Hello? The same way an accountant is useless where there is no money. And a doctor is useless where there is no sick. The anointing does not find expression where there is no need. If you want to stir up the anointing, you've got to get out to where the need is. Or where the needs are. And that will mean daring to attempt great things for God. God, I'm going to go minister to this person. I believe you will heal them. Even if you don't, I'm still going to do it. So it's your name you have to protect. I'm going to do it. God, I'm going to plant this seed. When I plant it, I may not have anything after. I don't know I'm going to pay my bills after this. But because you have your name to protect, I'm still going to do it. You attempt great things. You step out of your comfort zone and let him be God. I see each act of daring raises your faith level and raises your anointing level, because you find out that you step on to a new level in the things of God. Amen. 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 Two more and then I'll go. Impartation. In order to stir up your anointing, you must consistently seek impartation. The Bible also calls it laying on of hands. Like I said to you the other time, there are things that are taught, but there are things that are caught. In apprenticeship, in order to be as your master, you don't just observe him or listen to him. You must listen to what he's not saying. You must see what he's not showing. You must be able to catch his spirit. When you catch his spirit, this is the way David could explain it to Solomon. He said, know the God of your father. There is a way that you don't just hang around pastor like, yeah, pastor, if you like, you can bless me and all that. No, you know that he has something. You know that he carries something. Listen, even if he does not have anything, by virtue of being the angel of God over this assembly, he has something. Are you getting it? So if you look at it, we are like colleagues, you know, we grew up together, we work together and all that. So he's a fine guy. Yeah, you know. Oh, Lord, have mercy. If you do not see grace and respect the grace, you cannot benefit from it. You see, because in order for you to be blessed, you've got to come under. The Bible says he lifts up the humble He brings down the problem. He said he resists the problem, but he gives grace. See, like Pastor is saying that he needs to go vertically. You see, that's what it means to give grace. When you receive grace, your height increases. You know, so it creates platform shoes under you. So you step into new heights. You're able to see new things because you brought yourself low. I have a friend who jokes. It's about your height. So he says to us, the rest of us who are tall, he said, the Lord says, lo, I am with you always. Okay, the jokes aside, you've got to learn to stay anointed by connecting with the anointed via impartation. Learn to catch what was not being said. And from time to time, go for laying on of hands of your man of God. The man that brought me into ministry 20 years ago, I was with him last Sunday. He said I should come preach for him. So I went to preach for him. I had not seen him in 19 years before I left. When I was coming, I knew that the original impartation had come lower than before. That same, you see, there's a uniqueness of the anointing upon his life. I said, that same one, I want it again. And he prayed for me. And I feel it. I feel this thing. So that's why if you let me loose in this place, you won't go home till tomorrow. I'm telling you. From time to time, you must understand. The mature believer knows that the laying of hands is not just for ordination. Laying of hands is not just to put people into offices. The laying of hands is a way of a means of impartation, of receiving freshness of the anointing. Every time you see your man of God step into a new anointing, you need to come under and receive that new anointing. Finally, this is number 7, right? Generous giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And this is where I close. The Bible says he closed the book. Everybody who knows to open the book must know how to close the book. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things. Okay, let's start again. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You want to take the anointing to a new level? Read 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It tells you what to do. When you're generous with your giving, your anointing will grow. And there are all kinds of nonsense is flying over the airwaves in Nigeria right now, for those who've been listening to what is happening in Africa. People are covered with all kinds of thoughts and things. And it's just the lie of the devil to distract people from their inheritance. Let me tell you this. Nations and systems have proven it. Generous giving advances society. It advances individuals. It advances society. When the corporate world caught a hold of it, they started what they call CSR today. And CSR will not just get you tax rebates or tax relief. It actually creates favor on your behalf. So you spend the money, corporate social responsibility. You spend the money on the community, okay? The government writes off that amount of the tax, but the community will do more business with you because you spend that money on them. Now, you see, you have given the money to the government all the same, isn't it? Okay? But because you spend on the community, they feel more connected with you. Your resource base grows. Some years ago, Bill Gates had to give away half of his wealth over the rest of his life. And he encouraged some other people to do it. Do you know those guys have stayed on top? The more he gave, the more he has. The more he gave, the more he has. Okay, I know Jeff Bezos has overtaken him now as the richest man, but that is because the value of Amazon went up. Okay? So when you talk of true growth, you know that Bill Gates is still on top. And it's not likely to fall. Because the more you give, the more you get. Are you getting it? And the Bible says, he's able to make all grace. We're talking about the anointing. The capacity to do so much more. You will have the capacity to do much more than you've ever dreamt of doing. How many people have dreams in their hearts? You have dreams in your heart? The Bible says this is how it's going to happen. When you are liberal with the things that God has given you, it will make all grace, all capacity to accomplish your dreams. Many of us have stopped dreaming because the ones we dreamt in the past, nothing has come out of them. It's because you didn't follow through. When you begin to follow through, you realize God has made a provision for you. Hallelujah. Rise up on your feet. Let's pray. Spirit of God, we thank you. 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 There is a lifting. I hear my spirit. There is a lifting. 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 Heads are being lifted right now. Heads are being lifted right now. I sense elevation. Narabaka shataya bahasa. Ha. Le proboko shikete le bo shikete. There is someone you have a heart problem. I don't know whether your heart vibrates or something, but I felt it just right here. Right now you are being healed. You are being healed. Come place your hand upon it. Place your hand upon it and receive your healing right now. You are being healed right now. Right now. Right now. Thank you, Jesus. We release that healing right now in the name of Jesus. I speak over everyone in this assembly right now. I release your dreams. I release your vision. I release your provision. Receive capacity to walk in your purpose. In the name of Jesus, flourish in your place of grace. Let the anointing of God rest upon you. Let it lift you to great heights. In the name of Jesus, I speak to this ground. Yield your increase. Yield your increase. Yield your increase. I speak to the heavens. Give your rains. Give your rains. Rains of favor. Rains of favor. In the name of Jesus. I sense a shift in position. Someone, you are getting promoted this week. In fact, there are five people this week. You are getting promoted. This week you are getting elevated. You are moving. Thank you, Jesus. For one person, you within your place of work, you applied for the next level, to the next position to you. But you are going to be appointed to the one above that you do not apply for. This very week, you will get that testimony. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the grace to bring your word. Thank you for the heart to receive. Thank you for skill to translate these things into action, into reality, to do the things that make for the advancement of the kingdom. Lord, bless this assembly and you. Bless your servants as they do this work. Make this work easy for them. Let their voice be heard in the nations. In the name of Jesus, city of San Antonio will speak to you. Yield your strength to them. In the name of Jesus, yield your best to this assembly. In the name of Jesus, we call forth your helpers from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We call them forth in the name of. Receive help for your dream. Receive help for your dream. Receive help for your dream. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you glory and we give you praise.
This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.